How is everyone this morning? I got earbuds in, so you'll have to be louder when you say good. It's going to be a weird weekend. But God is still on the throne. We're still singing truth statements when we sing these songs. So let's all stand this morning and sing this together. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures of faith, never enough. You came along, put me back together. Now satisfied here in your love. Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. And I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. You've seen them all. And you still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Better than you.
for sure. I got nothing new. How could I expect all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, but you never do. So I throw up my hands, I praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I know it's not much, and I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Just one move with my arms stretched wide. I will worship you. Except for the heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on back. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your tone. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those bones. You get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands, I praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a And all you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, was Jesus is calling in. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Comes a day, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. So bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. To the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come, oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness. song we could ever say. Worthy of every praise we could ever bring. And worthy of every breath we could ever be. We live for you. Live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. And you're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. in the fields of green. My defense is a calling. He has filled my pain so deep. And I hear my Savior whispering. To the weak, I heed your call. In the flood, I am the rider. In the desert, I'm the rain that fills your cup. Jesus, you will call for me. Lay me down at Jesus' feet. I'm reaching for the Prince of Peace. River, wind, and sky so deep. I hear my Savior whispering. To the weak, I heed your call. Desert on the rain that fills your cup. Jesus, you will call for me.
Mark 10, 13 through 16, in the Message says, the people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. The children were vulnerable and in need. They were the exact representation of those he came to save. Children are appropriately awestruck by the world around them. They are expectant, moldable, and trusting. By nature, they aren't jaded and judgmental. Those qualities come with age, along with self-focus, self-reliance, self-protection, self-promotion, and self-praise. The children approach Jesus in a way we're supposed to emulate. Our disappointments, bitterness, and defensiveness restricts us. Our shame and guilt and insecurity restricts us. Our pride restricts us. Our desire to control our lives restricts us. All of it keeps us from coming unhindered to the one who counts us precious. Precious when we come to Jesus with the simple expectation that because of who he is and how he loves, we're welcome, we're wanted, we're forgiven, and we're restored. Lord, we just pray for childlike humility and faith, that we come to you with no agenda. Let us come to you just because of who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, New Covenant Church. If this is your first time visiting with us in person or online, welcome. We're so glad that you've decided to worship with us today. At New Covenant Church, we invite all people in the communities where we live to know, hear, and respond to Jesus Christ. You can learn more about NCC, become part of our church family, or join the volunteer team by going through our Connect class online or by attending one of the upcoming in-person classes. If you'd like to bless what God is doing through the ministries at NCC with your tithes and offering, you can use the offering boxes or give online at newcovenantlampasses.com. If you've got any questions about what's going on here at NCC or want more information on how to get connected, please stop by the hub after the service. Again, we're so glad you're here with us this morning. Now let's open and prepare our hearts for the word.
Morning. How are y'all doing? We are so glad that you are with us this morning for worship. Just have one announcement or a couple of announcements before we get started in the message. First of all, we won't be having our middle school or high school youth this evening. And also next Sunday is going to be a big day for those interested in becoming part of NCC. You are able to RSVP now for our Connect class that will be next Sunday. And you can learn more about NCC and become a member of the church in that class if you choose. We also have our quarterly serve team meeting next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. And this event is for everyone who's currently serving in any area of ministry or is interested in serving. At this time, we're going to show our appreciation for each of you that serves. And it's also a time that we're able to fellowship together with one another and share the vision with you where we're going. Where we're going to be providing dinner so you can eat with us and again have time to fellowship with one another. And we hope that you have plans to attend that. You can RSVP online for both those things or also out in the hub. If you have questions, I've got the QR codes there and can help you RSVP for both of those if you'd like. Well, this morning we're starting a new series titled The Way Matters. If we wanted to state it simply, it would be that the way we follow Jesus matters. It is significant that Jesus' call to each of his disciples was follow me. That was his call to anyone who believed the truth that he spoke and wanted the true life that he spoke of. In the four Gospels, Jesus used the words, follow me, a total of 22 times. Again and again, Jesus called people to follow him. And during this series, we're going to look at four parts of our journey in following Jesus. They are just a few of the many ways that make up the way of Jesus. Because Jesus' whole life on earth was an example to us. It was the perfect example. And what I hope that we will see through this series is that Jesus' way is completely different from our way. And that he is the only way to the Father. We really do need to seek after following him, just like he called us to, every moment of every day of our lives. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, Jesus makes it clear that he is the way. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So this is a big deal. Jesus tells his disciples, "You know the way to where I'm going." But Thomas interrupts him and says, "Lord, not only do we not know the way, we don't even know where you're going. And anyone who knows anything about men knows we don't ask for directions." How many of us, if we had been part of that conversation, would have just gone along with Jesus and nodded our head? "Yeah, we know, we'll figure it out. We'll find our way, we'll get there." And then been clueless afterward and been like, "What was Jesus talking about?" Well, this may be kind of humorous, but if you really think about it, most of the time when his disciples didn't know what he was talking about, they didn't bring it up. They kept it to themselves, and they would talk amongst themselves, and Jesus would have to bring it up. That scenario happened over and over and over again. But not this time. This time, Thomas interrupts Jesus. He stops him from speaking to say, "Jesus, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't know where you're going to go. How are we supposed to know how to get there?" And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Thomas spoke up so that Jesus could clarify both to them and to believers throughout all of history what he was saying. And Jesus clarified and said, "You know the way because you know me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And you are going to get to the Father through me." When we look at this passage, I think we underestimate the depth that Jesus was alluding to when he said that he is the way. Most of us would probably readily confess that he is the way to the Father because he became the sacrifice for our sins on the cross. He defeated death in his resurrection, the resurrection that literally the whole body of Christ celebrated last Sunday. And this is certainly true, but there's much more to Jesus being the way than that. According to Jesus, the way comes first. Following Jesus' way brings us to Jesus' truth. And Jesus' way plus Jesus' truth brings us Jesus' life. And this makes sense when we consider how often Jesus gave the command to both his disciples and anyone who believed in him, "Follow me." If we are going to follow Jesus, it's vitally important that we understand Jesus' way. There's an old saying that most of y'all have probably heard: the end justifies the means. That's to say, as long as the end result is good, it doesn't matter how we get there. As long as we make it to the destination, who cares how we got there? We got there. And that may be the world's way, but in the kingdom of God, and according to Jesus, the way matters. In the kingdom of God, we can't accomplish Jesus' way without Jesus' means. The way of Jesus isn't a supplement to our way. It's not a supplement to the world's way. The way of Jesus is an alternate way. And it's the only way to God the Father. We're going to take a look at the definition of this word in this passage, way. The Greek word found here is hadas. It's funny that it doesn't pronounce the way we would think because there's O's in there. But it's pronounced hadas, and it's translated into English as way 83 times, as journey 6 times, and as highway 3 times. Literally, it means a traveled way, a road, or a traveler's way. But metaphorically, it means a course of conduct, a way or a manner of thinking, feeling, and deciding. Obviously, Jesus was speaking metaphorically in this passage, similar to the way he would share truths in the form of a parable. He didn't mean that we would walk on him to to get to the Father. He meant we would follow his example, his course of life, live our life in the manner that he lived his, seeking to have his thoughts. And if we wanted to sum it all up in as few words as possible, we could do no better than to use Jesus' words, Jesus' own words, follow me. Considering that we just finished celebrating both Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, the obvious place for us to start this journey of following the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. The way of the cross wasn't meant for Jesus alone. Jesus didn't just make this way. He lived and walked this way. And Jesus literally died this way. The way of the cross. And he called us to follow him in this way. Jesus' way of the cross is referred to a lot in the New Testament, but for some reason it hasn't been much of a focus in the church for quite some time. And when it is discussed, we either downplay it or misinterpret it. Jesus' way of the cross, with the power of the Holy Spirit, provides the way for us to crucify ourself, our flesh, and put it to death. And we're going to look at what Scripture has to say about it, starting with what Jesus said. And this is found in Luke chapter 9, 23 through 26. And he, speaking of Jesus, said to all. So who was he speaking to? All. And what did he say? If anyone. Who? Anyone. Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Some translations would say forfeits his soul. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Jesus was talking to everyone. And he said, if anyone wants to follow me, if anyone wants to go my way, then they must deny themselves, deny their flesh, deny their self, and take up their cross. Once for all time? No. Every single day, and follow him. We're called to follow Jesus every single day. And then he spells it out. If we try to save our life, we will lose it. But if we lose our life for his sake, we will save it. I want to take a moment to share a part of my personal testimony on this. I really wanted this to be a once-for-all thing. Especially when I was younger, I would pray to God to take away my desires for sin. Anybody ever have a problem with the same sin? Committing it more than once? You know, maybe you did it twice or three times. You know what I'm talking about, right? And I would literally ask God to take away my free will. I'd be like, can you take and take away the desire, take away the flesh, take away myself. Just take it all away once for all so I don't have to worry about it anymore. But what I was really saying was, if you could take care of all that, I don't need you anymore. I wouldn't have to come to you. I wouldn't have to seek you. I could do it on my own. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed three times to take away a thorn in his flesh, but God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. I will walk with you. And what this passage says is it's this self-dying, this crucifying of ourself and our flesh and our desires and our will and our way. It's not a once-for-all thing. It's something that Jesus said we could do every single day and it wouldn't be too much. We have to take it to him and let it die. It's the process of sanctification. It's the process of us becoming more and more like Jesus. And there are times that we can get totally delivered of one area in of sin in our life, but then there's going to be something else. There's always going to be something else. As long as we are living in this flesh, we have something to bring to the cross every single day. The life of the self, the life of our flesh, our desires, our will, our way are all contrary to Jesus Christ and his way. It isn't just in our day and age that the flesh and the self are wreaking havoc on humanity. This problem goes all the way back to the fall in the garden, but Jesus came with a solution, the way of the cross. Following Jesus' way will never take us to where our self or flesh want to go. Following Jesus takes us where Jesus goes. And Jesus was going to the Father. If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Romans 6. And we'll get there in just a moment. We're going to look at a few examples this morning of how Jesus' way of the cross is meant for all of us. There are so many more passages on this subject that we could possibly cover this morning. And if you would like to study this further, I'm going to include in our online notes, you can go to our sermons and this message, and there will be attached notes that have more passages. For example, I listed to read all of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. And there's many more, but even with all the ones I list there, there's still more. There's so much on this topic. But it's hard to believe how little we seem to consider it. So we're going to pick up in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 11. And the Apostle Paul writes these words. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. United with him in death, so that we could be united with him in his resurrection. And did you catch those words in verse 6? We know that our old self, we know that our flesh was crucified with Jesus Christ. Do we? Do we? Does the church today preach a message that we know that our self and our flesh was crucified? That we are supposed to walk through that process every day? Do we know that? Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We are to consider ourselves, to consider our flesh, to consider our will crucified and dead to sin. And our life having been resurrected with his to new life, alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's good news. And Romans 8, verses 11 through 14 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We are not able to crucify our flesh in our own strength. Romans 8 makes that clear. It's by and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the body, the flesh. Something Jesus said we're meant to do every day. Daily picking up our cross and following him. You know, one thing we might say, and I didn't mention this in the first service. It actually came as we were in worship in this service, was that we'll say, well, I can't do it in my own strength, or I can't do this in my own flesh. If we say that we're supposed to crucify our flesh every day, aren't we saying that I'm going to do that on my own? And that's a work? No. But we just, the part of us that we're saying we would use to do that work on our own is what Jesus said we're to crucify daily. That's what we're to crucify. The thought that we could do it on our own. The thought that anything in our flesh or in our will or in our being could do it. We're crucifying that, reckoning it dead, that we might live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we walk by the Spirit, we're no longer walking in the flesh that has no power, no ability to follow God, but walking in the Holy Spirit with Christ Jesus dwelling in us that we might follow him. But this couldn't actually mean we're supposed to try and not sin, right? I mean, it's just not possible. So why even try? God certainly doesn't expect modern Christians to sentence their flesh to death on a cross, does he? To actually practice humility and servanthood, to actually deny our flesh the things that it desires. Aren't we trying to get people to follow Jesus? Who's going to want to follow Jesus if it means they have to die to themselves and give up their own desires? That doesn't sound like a very popular message, does it? Who could suggest that in this day and age that death is still a way to life? I mean, come on. Haven't we come up with a new and better cross? The old cross would have us, our flesh, our will, our self killed. That sounds horrible. There's a new cross that only requires Jesus to die. The old cross condemned, but the new cross doesn't put any expectation on us. The old cross destroyed confidence in the flesh, but the new cross encourages it. The old cross brought tears and blood and death, but the new cross says we're okay just like we are. A theologian named A.W. Tozer said that our flesh, smiling and confident, can preach and sing about the cross. He said, before the cross it bows, and toward the cross it points with carefully staged histrionics. I had to look up that word. It means performances with exaggerated displays of emotion for effect. But listen to this. Upon that cross, the flesh will not die. And the reproach of that cross, it stubbornly refuses to bear. Those words were written in 1950, more than 70 years ago. But they could have easily been written of us today. If anything, I would say they're unfortunately more true today than ever. Tozer also wrote these words. In the name of Christ, we have made void the cross of Christ. God, forgive us for inventing a cross that he did not die on. In Galatians 5, 16 through 24, we find Paul addressing this topic again. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the work of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There it is again, clearly stated. The Holy Spirit will give us the ability to follow Jesus' way of the cross. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul gave a whole list of things that we are to put to death on the cross. How often? Every single day, if need be. Every day, picking up our cross. Every day, denying ourselves, our flesh, our will. Every day, choosing to follow Jesus Christ in the way of the cross by the power of the Holy Spirit. We claim to be followers of Christ, yet take so lightly his words and the words of those who followed him. We are called to crucify ourselves, our flesh. And that includes all the hyphenated sins of the human spirit. Pastor Jeff mentioned some of those in his word that he shared. And to be specific, these self-sins include things like self-righteousness, self-pity, self-confidence, self-sufficiency, self-admiration, self-love. That's a popular one today. Just love yourself, just the way you are. Anything that starts with self is opposed to the way of Christ. And there's many more like these. And they dwell very deep within us and are so much a part of us and of our nature that they don't even come to our attention unless God himself shines the light of Jesus Christ on them. Our self will never be handled. It will never be controlled or sin managed through proper instruction or good theology. Self can only be removed through spiritual experience. An actual encounter with the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We may as well try to instruct a disease out of our physical body as to try to instruct ourself and flesh to die on the cross. There must be a work of God through the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to daily follow Jesus and deny ourselves and pick up that cross. We can pray to the Father to allow the cross to do its deadly work within us. We must bring our self-sins to the cross for judgment. And we must prepare ourselves to suffer in some way like our Savior when he suffered his death on the cross. The New Testament is full of words and messages to us that we will suffer when we follow Christ. We've invented another way if we think it won't include suffering. We're going to close with these words from the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6:14. He said, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." There it is again. The world is to be crucified to us, and we are to be crucified to it if we're going to go the way of Jesus. The cross where Jesus died became the cross where his apostles died. The loss, the rejection, the shame that belonged both to Christ and to all of us who would follow him. The cross that saves us is also the one that will slay our self-life, our will, our flesh. And anything short of that is for us to attempt to make another way. Jesus said if we would follow him, we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. I want to invite our ministry team to come forward. And as we consider what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us this morning and how we might respond, I want you to consider something. Did you know that no one carried a cross around in Jesus' day for the fun of it? Any man that was seen carrying a cross was a dead man walking. He was as good as dead, condemned to death. It was just a matter of time. And I want us also to consider that when Jesus spoke these words and when the apostles wrote the words that we've been reading this morning, using the word crucifixion over and over, that was still an active means of punishment, a death sentence. They weren't throwing this word around flippantly to make a point. They were serious, deadly serious. Jesus said those words about us picking up our own cross daily as he was going to his cross. Do you think he just made it for the fun of it? Do you think he said it but then said, well, not really, I don't really mean for you to do that, I just said it? He was serious. We can't play around with fixing or tinkering with our inner self-life or flesh. It's not something to play with. It's not a game. God must do everything for us. Our part is to yield and to trust. We must confess and forsake and condemn the self-life, our flesh, our will, and then consider it crucified. We must let the real work of God being done, and we must insist upon the work being finished. We can't comfort ourselves with a good theology of self-crucifixion. It actually needs to happen. It's something that we actually have to participate with him. Every single day, according to Jesus, isn't too often. Every day that we follow him must be a day that we lay down our will, our flesh, our self, and consider it again, a dead man walking. Picture yourself, your flesh, your strength, your way, carrying the cross, destined to die. That is the way of our flesh. Let it die. And then we can live in the Spirit knowing we're not alive to that anymore. Now we are alive to Christ. And the Holy Spirit will let us walk in life. Any day that we choose another way, we're trying to come up with another way to the Father other than Christ Jesus. It's never fun to die. But death is what the cross did to Jesus. And it's what the cross would do to every person if we are to be set free to walk in the Spirit and no longer in the flesh. The way matters. The way that we follow Jesus matters. And the way of the cross is just one of those ways that Jesus has called us to follow him. And as we close in worship, my prayer is that we will all respond to Jesus' words today. This morning, right now, reckon to deny yourself, your flesh, your will. Respond to Jesus' words today, this morning, and take up your cross. And right now, in this moment, to make a decision to follow him. Will you respond as the Holy Spirit leads you as we close in worship? The ministry teams are available.
Whatever pleases you, my Lord, my Lord.
be. Only not my will be done, but yours, Lord, let it be. I built my city once, and great was its form. All my laboring in vain upon no foundation, when all my walls come crumbling to the ground. Out of the darkness I heard you call and out my name. Here I am, child, when you're ready. Whatever pleases you, my Lord, my life, let it be. Oh, let not my will be done, but yours, Lord, let it be. I built my city once, and great was its form. All my laboring in vain upon no foundation, when all my walls come crumbling to the ground. Out of the dust I saw you standing there. Thumbs wide open, smiling through your tears. You asked if you could take it over from here. So here's my heart, my surrendered city. Surrender city. Surrender city.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the way to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the importance of how much the way we go matters would settle in our soul, or the Holy Spirit would bring that word to life, Lord. That we would know that you are the only way, you are the only truth, and you are the only life. In Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father God, I pray that we would live by faith in Christ Jesus, Lord, that we would reckon ourself, our flesh, our will, our ways, all crucified. Lord, that we would do that daily to remind ourselves that it is not in our strength, it is not in our power, it is not by our will or our way that we will get to you. It is only through Jesus Christ. It is only through his life in us and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And when we reckon that life dead, then we can live and walk in the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that this part of your body, that the whole body of Christ would be a witness to Jesus Christ, to the way, and that as we follow your way, Lord, that others would come to know you and follow you. Father God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We pray that you have a good week. Our ministry teams will continue to be available if you would like prayer. God bless you.